From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. And we have a special guest joining us on the show today to talk about an important issue, some exciting developments, and a redemptive opportunity to transform an establishment that was once creating harm and lawlessness into a place that is life-affirming and hope-giving. We'll talk about what's taking place up in White Clay, Nebraska, and what that area looks like now that those beer stores are closed. But first, I would be remiss if I didn't start today's show by talking about what people across the country are talking about from right here in the Omaha area, where an elementary school principal tried to ban Christmas, and it did not go well. The elementary school principal at Manchester Elementary here in Elkhorn issued a memo to staff prohibiting all Christmas-related symbols at the school. Now, this obviously caused quite the uproar with parents and teachers, and our friends over at the First Amendment law firm Liberty Counsel even had to get involved. And the list of items that were going to be banned is really quite astonishing. It included Santa, Christmas trees, Elf on the Shelf, singing Christmas carols, playing Christmas music, candy canes and reindeer, homemade ornament gifts, Christmas movies, and red and green items, banning color combinations. And the candy canes, the memo said, those were prohibited because the candy cane shape of a J represents Jesus. Thankfully, people were paying attention. They spoke up, and school district officials hastily reversed this ban, saying that the principal had violated district policy. But when this story first came out last week, it went national. Glenn Beck covered it on The Blaze. It was on the Drudge Report. Even Rush Limbaugh was talking about this. And according to the Omaha World Herald, Matt Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, said the principal's memo was the most unique and I would say outrageous example that he's seen of censoring Christmas symbols, calling it, quote, blatantly unconstitutional. I don't see how anyone could have claimed ignorance and claimed this was required by church and state law. It just goes far beyond anything I've seen. He went on to say he has never seen such a detailed list of what's acceptable and what's not, because some items were allowed that are associated with Christmas, like sledding, hot chocolate, polar bears, penguins, snowmen, and gingerbread people. And as Matt Staver pointed out, the principal indicated in the memo that they wanted to be inclusive, but in order to be inclusive, they were excluding Christians and people who celebrate Christmas. Thankfully, district officials responded quickly and reversed this memo, so there is no such ban on Christmas taking place, and the principal who sent this memo followed up last week with an email to parents saying a mistake was made that was contrary to district policy and sincerely apologized for any confusion, concern, or negative attention. That is certainly one way to ring in the Christmas season. Now, at the start of the show, we mentioned that there are numerous positive developments to report on from out in White Clay, Nebraska. And even though this is an issue that is often out of sight and out of mind, this is something that affects the entire state and certainly every taxpayer in the state of Nebraska. And much has been said about whether the right decision was made or not to close down these four beer stores and whether laws were being properly enforced or not. Well, now the four beer stores in White Clay, Nebraska, an unincorporated village of less than a dozen people that sold 3.5 million cans of beer every year, primarily to residents of the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, have been closed. And subsequently, what we have seen is law and order has been restored to the unincorporated village. And there's a lot of exciting new developments taking place. And joining me now to talk about this is Alan Jacobson, a good friend and business owner who has a wealth of knowledge and experience firsthand working on this issue. Alan, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Nate, thank you for having me. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. And I know there's a lot to talk about with this issue because we are continuing to see a lot of really positive developments that a lot of people didn't think would ever happen. There was a recent article in the Omaha World Herald that people might have seen that detailed what's been taking place in White Clay. And there are a couple things that I want to be sure to mention right out of the gate here. So we know that there is now a new treatment and detox center on the Pine Ridge Reservation. They've seen a decrease in alcohol consumption. The tribe has more than doubled their police force to crack down on bootlegging. There's continued economic development in White Clay. And I thought this one was especially important. The mayor of Rushville, which is the next closest town to White Clay where you can purchase alcohol, said that the increase in liquor sales in Rushville due to the closure of the White Clay stores has had no negative impacts. So, Alan, as you have been back out to that area, what do things look like now compared to when these four beer stores were open?
Nate, it's exciting to see. I might just clarify that the tribe has received about $500,000 to build the detox treatment and long-term care facility. And they've actually purchased a building, and they're in the process of renovating it. And it's real exciting to see what's happening. Fabian Kennedy has kind of headed that up there for the tribe. And he's worked on it for 5 or 6 years. I've known him now for the last couple of years, and he's worked very diligently and hard to accomplish that. There's a lot of good things happening there. You mentioned something about the police force doubling. They only had 24 officers literally to a police an area that required, I mean, if you think about this, three people on a shift and you have to divide that large landmass up. 24 is your overworking people. There's not enough people out there, not enough police force to do it. So to double it helps. They've also cracked down on bootlegging and shutting down some of the operations that were going on. But on this side of the border at White Clay, one of the other exciting things that you didn't mention that I'd like to add is that, you know, Senator Tom Brewer is a member of the tribe, grew up on the Pine Ridge Reservation, but now lives in Gordon and is the state senator for this area, played a critical role in the closing of the beer stores. And his brother Jeff just became elected to being the sheriff for Sheridan County. That is a huge change. The sheriff has always come out of Rushville, and for the first time in the history of Sheridan County, they have an officer, not only a chief now out of a different city, but out of Gordon. But you also have someone who's also a member of the tribe, but also has been on the police force at Gordon. So he brings a lot of wealth of history. And during the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission, one of the things that Natawe Means, who was the attorney general for the Ogallala Sioux at the time, she said that one of the difficult things she had with Sheridan County was the lack of communication between the tribe and Sheridan County law enforcement. That's going to change. And that's exciting to see because we can work on this side of the border. And so we're seeing a lot of things. And you know, that adds to what really happened at White Clay. A lot of people talk about, well, it was about closing four beer stores. The beer stores were only the source of what was creating a lot of the problem. But the real issue, and our Attorney General, Doug Peterson, probably articulates it better than anyone, when he talks about this, was really about restoring law and order to an unincorporated town who did not have the ability to pass any ordinances or laws to govern themselves. And so it just was out of hand. And as you know, you've reported on it quite well. The sex trafficking, the violence, the violence not only between each other but two women. And so it's great to see law and order being restored in this town.
Well, I think that's a really important point. You're absolutely right. This was a lot more about a lot more than just alcohol. This was fundamentally a law and order issue. And so, Alan, you've been to White Clay numerous times. Can you just give us sort of an update on what it looks like currently when you go up to White Clay? what it looks like now compared to some things that you've seen previously that maybe gives us some encouragement and signs that, you know, this was the right decision, and that our attorney general and others did, and law enforcement did the right thing by stepping up to enforce the law and making sure that all the liquor laws and other laws that were not able to be enforced in White Clay, that's all now taking place.
You know, I appreciate that, Nate, because, you know, one of the things, the very basic fundamental things in our society is whether you're liberal or conservative or what faith you are and what you believe, there's one thing we all believe in, and that's that we should treat each other with dignity and respect. And at the very fibers of a culture, you have to have law and order, or you can't have that ability to treat each other with dignity and respect. And so to restore that is exciting, and it shows. There's a dollar store that went into production immediately. They actually put on hold the building, erecting that building, until the stores were closed or until they restored law and order. And once they did, they built it right away. It is thriving. I had lunch with Brian Brewer, the past president of the Ogallala Sioux, in White Clay at this little diner that's right there in White Clay. It was booming. We had to wait to be seated. And when we got done eating, there were people waiting to take our seats. And so it's exciting to see that and other businesses. Several business owners told us that they can actually go out and walk on the street at night without any fear of being any kind of violence or anything like that going on, so that law and order brings about a thriving community, and that's what's happening. It's starting to grow. The makerspace, John Rubelid, who helped found the makerspace, which, if anyone's familiar with it, we have here the Innovation Park here in Lincoln, a makerspace. They have created a makerspace there, and they bought one of the old beer stores, and in the course of doing that, they have transformed it. They're going to transform it. They just closed on it last Friday, and it's the Arrowhead Inn, and it was a former bar and beer store. And so now what they're doing is they're going to restore that, and it will create, there's three buildings on that. I walked that ground with John here just a couple months ago, and there's one building that'll be tore down, and then two other buildings that'll be renovated, and they'll be able to provide 35 jobs that will be for people being able to develop their skills. So that is exciting. And in so doing, John called me, and we met up there a few months ago, and then we started talking about the possibility of purchasing the land just north of the dollar store that butts right up against South Dakota, or right up against Pine Ridge. And then it kind of comes around the dollar store and meets at the makerspace area. And we are in the process right now. We have put an offer to purchase in. It's about 2.1 acres of land, has two buildings on it and a well. And we have an offer to purchase that's been accepted. And so we formed a 501c3, and we have a bank account. We have a mailbox where people can send checks, and pretty soon we'll have a website set up, which hopefully we can get a link on with you. And in the course of doing that, we want to build a fetal alcohol syndrome trauma center. And if anyone's familiar, it's a very denigrating disease that basically it cripples the individual in the womb, and it's a result of alcohol being it involves the fetal alcohol syndrome is basically something where you're a woman drinks while she's pregnant, and if she's an alcoholic and becomes pregnant, it's hard to stop. It's hard to stop drinking. As a result of that, right now, just to give people an idea of the numbers, it's right now nationally, there's about two births in America in 100, two in 100 in is a national statistic. Is that two births in 100 have fetal alcohol syndrome in the United States? However, on the Pine Ridge Reservation, it's one in four. It is a terrible disease.
It's tragic.
It's terribly tragic. And so what we want to do, there's a lot of good things that are happening when you stop the flow of alcohol. You can at least and it didn't completely stop it. Obviously, after, after the large volumes of alcohol sales over the last years, it's left the community struggling in Pine Ridge. There's still dependency there. There's still consumption going on. And so one of the things we want to do is provide this fetal alcohol syndrome trauma center. Nora Boson, who is a foster parent of 12, or a foster parent of about 90. She's a mother of 12. She's adopted 12 kids, her and her husband, and she's a professional in the area of FASD trauma. And she's agreed to be the director for the trauma center. She has a tremendous relationship with the tribe, has worked with them on this particular issue. And so we're excited that she's willing to do that. And so what we're doing right now is trying to raise funds to purchase this ground and then turn what was once a beer store into a trauma center as the initially into the first trauma center, and then we'll grow from there.
Well, I mean, Alan, I've got to stop you there, because this is a really big deal, what is unfolding here and what's developing in White Clay, because you're right. I mean, obviously, as we've talked about all along, closing down the beer stores and restoring law and order is not going to overnight cure or fix the many severe problems that continue to plague Pine Ridge Reservation, including fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, which, as you mentioned, is a crippling, incurable disease inflicted upon innocent unborn children who live with severe mental and physical complications for the rest of their lives as a result of this alcohol consumption during the pregnancy. But you and others have decided to do something about this by forming this new organization, the White Clay Memorial, which, as you talked about, is a living, active memorial to address alcoholism and trauma and develop this fetal alcohol syndrome trauma center actually in White Clay, which is so sorely needed to help these families, women, and children. So, Alan, if you could just tell us, where this idea came from, how it's going to function, and lastly, how people can help get this established.
Well, to tell you that the emanation of this is probably from seeing these children who are being crippled by this, and you see them at different stages of their life. When you go to Pine Ridge, it's something that really grips your heart. I mean, it makes you pretty sick. But besides the moral issue, Nate, it's people don't realize is there's an economic issue that
Absolutely.
People overlook. It is huge. In fact, I have some of the numbers, but I prefer, that's such a huge amount to talk about. The people need to realize it's not just a local issue. It's not just a choice about drinking. It is a huge problem that you and I are paying through our federal tax dollars to Indian Health Services. And when you think that someone like Ariana, which is one of the adopted kids by Nora, children by Nora, she's 6 years old and she's cost $5 million since she was born.
Wow.
We're all paying for that. And you multiply that. Obviously, not every child costs that much, but each one is a little bit different, but it's still very expensive to all of us. And we need to realize that, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot of savings, not only just from an economic standpoint, but also from a production from that individual and how they live in society and how they act and how they work and their, the whole behavioral thing becomes an issue. And so what we're doing is trying to do something about that. It isn't just about we're going to go do this for indigenous people, or we're going to go do this for these people. We're doing this together. We're working with the tribe in the efforts to accomplish this. And at the same time, it's something that came out of some of the Fixed White Clay group has been involved in it. It's coming through the summits that we've been doing. That's about the fourth one that John Meisch and Frank Lemire have put on. We actually had one here this last year. But it really came about from this whole effort and action came about by the need to do something. And we finally just said, look, we have a building. Nora, how big a building do you need? And it, unbelievably, she said, well, you know, a building that's maybe 36 by 100 feet, you know, something like that. It just happens that that's the one of the beer store sizes that's on this property. And so we had her, without her knowing it, we asked her to draw us just a picture. Okay, what would you have to have for offices and viewing rooms and diagnostic rooms and things like that? What would you need? And she kind of drew a picture. And so when we took her there after the summit, and in doing so, she just, you could see on her face, wow, this kind of fits the picture I drew. We said, yeah, that's exactly right. So since that time, I'm literally leaving tomorrow morning to go to Western Michigan University, where Dr. Mark Sloan has a trauma center where he works with children. And he has verbally said that he wants to help. He's read about white clays, read the story of it. We have people at UNMC that are very active, actively wanting to help. And they're actually working with the tribe on some other things, on diagnostic with detox treatment and long-term care. This is really specifically about fetal alcohol syndrome and the trauma that it creates, not only in the individual, but in the family and in the community. And that translates not only into the difficulty of how that person can function in society, but also the expense on the society for that individual, when we could prevent that. This is a preventable disease.
That's a great point. You're right. It is entirely preventable, but also incurable when it does take place. And so it just puts a smile on my face to think about, you know, the harm that was being done to women and children in that area, and now that we'll have something occupying the same space, but something that is life-giving and providing hope to women and families is really huge. And there's a lot of good things happening thanks to a lot of good people such as yourself, Alan. So thank you so much for the tremendous work that you are helping to accomplish in this area. And we really appreciate you coming on the show today and giving us an update and overview and letting us know what's been taking place.
Nate, thank you. And if I may, I just wanted to add that we're trying to raise about $50,000 by December 30th. And I know it sounds like a lot, but hopefully people would consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation, and they can send it to White Clay Memorial, Post Office Box 81424, P.O. Box 81424, Lincoln, Nebraska 68501. And so that we can close on this land and begin the development of this much-needed center.
All right, Alan, thank you so much. And again, that is the White Clay Memorial, P.O. Box 81424, Lincoln, Nebraska 68501. Such an incredibly important issue and a great way to help families and children who need it the most. So thank you again, Alan Jacobson. So grateful for you and appreciate your time today.
Nate, thanks again. Glad to be on the show. Thank you.
For more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and stand with NFA to advance family, freedom, and life by influencing policy, mobilizing prayer, and empowering people. And together, we can ensure that Nebraska is a state where God is honored, marriages and families thrive, life is cherished, and religious freedom flourishes. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you will join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.